Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And I'm going to try to balance the Bible, this microphone. I'm really not even supposed to be standing on this leg, but I'm going to do it anyway. Just don't tell my doctor. Luke chapter 23. And what I want to do this morning is just share something with you that's been on my heart. And usually when I preach, it's because the Lord's already taken me to the woodshed. And what that means, you know, back in the olden days, that's where they used to spank the kids, okay? All right. The Lord's already taken me to the woodshed on this and taught me something. And I just want to share with you, this is something that no matter who you are in this room or where you're at in your walk with the Lord, Luke chapter 23, and I want you to look at verse 34. Luke 23 and verse 34. We're going to look this morning about these two words, forgive and being forgiven. At some point in your life, everybody in this room is going to have to do those two things. You cannot live with other human beings and never have to forgive somebody. Because people hurt people. We live in a sinful world that is broken. Every tear that I've shed of sorrow has been because of either my sin or somebody else's sin spilling into my life. And we find ourselves hurt. And we find ourselves where somebody has done something to us that has damaged us and caused us to change our feelings for that person. Therefore, giving us the opportunity and the need to forgive them. Everybody in this room at some point will need to forgive somebody else. Okay? That's number one. Number two, if you're a human being, there's going to come a time in your life when you will hurt somebody. And at that moment, you're going to need to be forgiven. Those are two things that everybody in this room will need at some point in your life to either learn how to forgive or learn how to be forgiven. And that's what we're going to learn. You know, the Bible's there's no way in the world Phil or I or anybody else would ever do this if we did not have the perfect Word of God. What you hold on your lap, we believe, is directly from God Himself. And that's what we're going to use. So let's pray and we'll look at this morning. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you, Father, for the truth. And I just pray that you would help us as we examine. These are not easy things for people to do. It is not easy to forgive and it is not easy to be forgiven. And God, I pray that you would break our heart of pride. That you would break our heart of the hurt that's inside sometimes when somebody wrongs us. And then the things that get in our way when we need to be forgiven and we push back from that because we're not willing to be broken. God, I pray as we look at your example in the Bible through Jesus Christ, that you would melt our hearts and that you would teach us how to forgive and that you would teach us this morning how to be forgiven. Lord, we love you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, as was prayed earlier, Lord, forgive us as we forgive our trespassers. We love you. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, this is what it said. In verse 33, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And when you read these words, well, I just transported you 2,000 years ago to the day that Jesus died on the cross. And look at that word, crucified. To them, they were not saving the world. They were practicing capital punishment to a criminal. They crucified him. All right. And now verse 34, then said Jesus, I want you to understand, they crucified him. So what you have is you have the Son of God nailed to a cross. He's naked. His face is nothing but a raw mess because though like your beard, they pulled it out. Handfuls ripped it out of his face. So it's all swollen and bloody to mock the fact that he said he was a king of kings. They put a crown on his head. And they took a reed and they beat it in. And the thorns now are piercing his brow. They hit him. They blindfolded him and said, if you're the Son of God, then when I hit you, you should know my name. Tell me who hit you. So his face is all bruised because they hit him. And then they tied him to that post and they whipped him with that cat of nine tails so many times. Most men died from that. They opened up his back. It said you could look down and he could see his bones. The people he made, his own creation, rebelling against him, nailing him to the cross, and here's what he says. Listen to this. Whoops. It says here, verse 34, Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Think about that. On the cross, with all of that pain, with all of that suffering, Jesus Christ Himself said these words, Father, forgive them. All the hurt that He had inside, all the disappointment with the people that He made, could you imagine the hand that you created taking a nail and putting you on the cross and then turning around and forgiving that very same person for what they did to Him? Do you know Jesus does not hold a grudge for what happened on Calvary? He is not mad. He is not upset. He doesn't hold that in his heart every day. He is not mad at humanity. He is not mad at people. Because on that cross, he said, I forgive them. He let go of that pain. And he gave it to God. And he said, I will not hold this inside of me. And Father, when you look down, and I know you have the power of the world, and right now you want to come get me and you want to destroy these people, Dad, don't do it. Forgive them. Man, you know what? A great teacher. Maybe, see, here's my problem. I don't know what you've been through. So if you come tell me your story of pain and sorrow, and then I say to you, well, you need to forgive them. You're going to tell me, but you don't understand. You don't really have the right to tell me to forgive them because you did not feel my pain. You did not go through what I went through. So therefore, you do not have the right to just tell me, hey, man up. Let it go. Because you did not live what I lived. Rightly so. But nobody's lived what Jesus lived. And He has the right today to teach us how to forgive. Because there is nothing that can happen to us that is greater than what happened to Him. And here is our teacher nailed to the cross and says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 2 and let's go in verse 21. 1 Peter 3 verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. Now look at this. Because Christ suffered, but He did it to leave us an example, that ye should follow in His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile or bitterness found in His mouth. Now listen to this. Here's what Jesus did. Here is where He walked. Who, when He was reviled, or when he was threatened, or when people tried to attack Him, when He was reviled, He reviled not again. He did not attack back. When He was reviled, He reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judges righteously, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. He said, listen, when they threatened Jesus, Jesus did not threaten back. When they threatened to hurt Jesus, Jesus didn't say, hey boys, you know, I could destroy every one of you right now. He did not do that. When people attack, He did not do that. We do that. What's the first thing we want to do when we get hurt? Man, we want to hurt back because of the pain inside of us. And Jesus said, don't do that. Let it go. May I tell you something this morning? If you're here this morning and there is something or somebody has hurt you, and maybe, hey, listen, maybe it was 20 years ago. Am I the only person in this room that has had something very bad happen to them and you're okay? Then one day you're driving alone in the car by yourself and you begin to think about what happens. Do you know that if I think about those moments that have hurt me the most, do you know all of a sudden I can begin to cry again? All of a sudden I can begin to feel the pain and the hurt inside of my heart, even though it was 20 years ago. And Jesus is saying, don't live like that, man. Do not live like that. Let it go. Do not hold that inside of you. Because what it'll do is it will rob you of the ability to love. Not only to love the person that hurt you, but then you will have problems loving people around you because you're still dealing with that pain 20 years ago. One of my missionary friends, he's been to Zambia. His wife was 17 years old. She was walking home one night. She was grabbed by a guy, thrown in a car, taken out to a field, and she was raped at knife point. The guy left her, no clothes on, stabbed her in the neck, and left her in a field to die. And she knew who did it. And she went back later on. And she told the guy, I forgive you. Because we got to do that. No matter what the pain is, do not let it own you. The world is a bitter, unforgiving place. And it binds us to itself. Now listen. Even though the person may not want forgiveness, that's their problem. We need to be free of the pain. And the only way you can do that is to be able to once and for all forgive them. Which is difficult because now you no longer have the right to revisit that moment and let it hurt you again. So you have to let go of that entitlement that you know, you don't understand, this happened to me. And we sometimes use that as a crutch. Give that up to Jesus Christ. He will give you a new crutch. And that is a love that only He can talk about. In the Bible, he said, listen, if you do not forgive those who trespass against you, then I'm not going to forgive you. He told a story when Peter asked about, he said this. He said, Lord, how many times should I forgive somebody? Hey, that's a good question, you know. How many times has somebody got to step on me before I step on them back? All right, good question. Peter said, seven times? All right, he's being conservative. Seven times? All right. Seven times. And Jesus said, no. Seven times 70. Which means you don't quit. Then he told the story. See, this one guy owed the king a lot of money. And he went to the king. And he got on his hands and his knees. And he said, please, please. Do not do this. Please have mercy on me. Please, I will pay you back. The king looked at this man who's humbly on the ground, begging for forgiveness, says, okay, I am going to forgive you of this huge debt. You're free to go. As soon as he gets out, he's walking down the road and he sees this guy, and the guy owes him $10. And he starts going off on the guy for the $10. And the guy says, look, I don't have the $10. Please, give me till Friday. I'll get you the $10. The guy goes crazy, calls the police and says, hey, lock this guy up. The guy begs him, how can I give you the money back if you put me in jail? This guy cold-heartedly just says, I don't care, rot in jail. And off he goes. Well, the word got back to the king. And now the king is like, whoa, go get that man. And he brought him back, and here's what he said. How dare you? I forgave you millions. Yet you walked out of this room and you attacked a man for $10. So now I'm going to lock you up until you pay every penny you owe me. Jesus told that story to show Peter that, guys, we don't have a choice. Do you understand what you did to Jesus Christ? Your sins nailed him to that cross. How can we go to God and say, forgive me today? How many of us need, am I the only in this room, person in this room that needs forgiveness? Okay? I need forgiveness on a daily basis. I stay 30 seconds from stupid. Okay? That's where I live my life. I mean, it only takes 30 seconds to put this foot in this mouth and have to say, I'm sorry. Okay? 30 seconds and I'm there. Boom. Alright? I need forgiveness. How in the world am I going to... Alright? If somebody has an affair and they cheat on their wife, now they got to go to God. Will God forgive the sin of adultery? Absolutely. He will. So you go to God and you say, God, I am so sorry. I cheated on my wife. God, will you forgive me? And He will forgive you. Now, what would happen if you were the one cheated on? Would you be able to go to your spouse and say, I forgive you? We do not have the right to ask Christ to forgive us if we cannot forgive somebody else. And guys, I'm not making that up. Unfortunately, that's the Bible. Because I need Christ's forgiveness. I have sinned against Him. He died for me on Calvary. So when somebody hurts me, gotta let it go. Because He let it go. You got to forgive them because He forgave you. And there's no other option. Now, am I saying that's easy? No. Am I saying to you that I have not had bitterness in my heart? I told you I had no idea who my real father was. I didn't find out till I was 32 years old. One day, the father who raised me was in prison, in and out of prison all the time. And the Bible says the sins of the fathers are passed down 3 generations. And I'm thinking, whew, I want to know what he got in trouble for so I can make sure it don't happen to me. So I asked my mom one day on the phone. I said, hey, Mom, what did Dad get in trouble for? What is on his arrest record? The phone got really quiet. And she said, Dave, you don't need to worry about that. I'm like, okay, why not? Well, Dave, he's not your father. Oh, whew, load off my mind. I'm like, what do you mean he's not my father? 32 years old. I could be on Jerry Springer, you know? Hearing him, Jerry. I'm like, what? Now, and by the way, your sister and you have the same dad, but your brother, different. I'm like, ah! And she's like, no, he's a good man. I'm like, no, he's not a good man. I've been alive 32 years. Okay, I don't even know who I look like. You know, I mean, and then she says, oh, by the way, he's dead. I'm like, great. You know, and just shoot me right now. I mean, is there anything else you want to tell me, Mom? All right, so, can I tell you? I was aggravated. Bad aggravated. I was mad. I can remember all the times my mom came to me and used to just, holy air and now, because I used to drink and do other things, and she'd come preach. And I'm thinking, you're preaching to me? Hello? You know, and I sat there. It took me about 3 weeks. And God just reminded me of everything I've ever done to Him. And He said, Dave, you just gotta let it go. You just gotta love your mom. And just let it go. Because when you go to God today, and you tell Him, I'm sorry, He says, it's okay, Dave. I forgive you. I know you were hard on your wife today. I know you were rough on the kids today. You know, you were absolutely an idiot. But it's okay, Dave, I love you. And I forgive you. Do you know that I can, when you go to God, have you ever tripped up over the same thing over and over again, or am I the only one that does that? You tell God, I'll never do this again. 2 days later, you're up to it in here. All right, that didn't last long. So you got to go to God. God, it's me again. Okay. What did the same thing. He doesn't, so when I say, God, I'll never do it, he doesn't say, I'll believe it when I see it. That's the same thing you told me the last 20 times you were in it. No, you know what he does? He says, Dave, I forgive you. And he, because of who he is, believes that I won't do it again until I do. You know why? Because he has forgiven me. Aren't you glad that when you get down there to the song, that when you go to Jesus and you ask, have you ever asked for something? Well, let's say you did something bad 10 years ago. Have you ever re-asked for forgiveness of that thing again? You know what he says? Hey, I don't even know what you're talking about. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. They're under the sea of forgetfulness. Man, that's incredible to know that's Jesus and me. Okay, there's the first thing, all right? That's how you learn to forgive. And everybody in this room has somebody today that you most likely need to forgive. You may need to find them after the service. You may need to call them on the phone because they live in another country. Or you may need to write a letter. But please, do yourself a favor. Let it go. Because it will hurt you. And Jesus Christ sets you free from that. Okay, the next one, which will go a little bit faster, is to learn how to be forgiven. So for that, we're going to go to the first book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 3. Let me show you how not to do it. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and I want you to look at verse 12. This is after Adam and Eve are in the garden, and the serpent is in the tree. Eve's over there. Now, you know what's really weird about the Bible? How many of you women are walking through a garden, and you see a tree? And in the tree, this snake is in the tree. Number one, you wouldn't even go near the tree. So, there was something about the Garden of Eden that I don't understand, because my wife would not go near that tree. Okay? She'd burn the tree, burn the garden, and make me move. Okay? I mean, we're not going to keep the tree because the snake's in the tree. So, she's standing there, and this snake talks to her. And there's not a dialogue like, ah! Why are you talking? She's just like, it's a normal thing. Hi, how are you? I mean, it's like, hello, the snake just talked to you. So maybe back in the Bible, in Genesis, maybe that was an everyday occurrence. I don't know. I find it strange that she's carrying a conversation on with a snake and doesn't say anything odd. Do you see anything odd? Listen, do not believe anything. If an animal starts talking to you today, that ought to give you a really big hint. Do not trust that. Okay? All right, she should have said, hey, why are you talking? So the snake says, hey, you know how this story goes. Eat this fruit. And unfortunately, she eats the fruit. Then Adam comes along and he eats it. Then they look down at all at once and go, ah, we're naked. And they go hide in the bushes, try to put clothes on. Saddest thing in the Bible is to watch God come through that garden. He knew where Adam was. Calls his name and says, Adam, where are you? Because you're hiding in the bushes. And he says to God, well, we're afraid because we're naked. And God says, well, how do you know you're naked? Did you eat of that tree? So listen now. Well, look at this. This cracks me up. Go to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 12. And the man and the woman, verse 11. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree wherefore I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman that thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. He said, listen, did you eat that tree? Adam said, hey, wait a minute. It's not my fault. You gave that woman to me. See what she did? You gave her. Now he's blaming God.
this wouldn't have happened had you not have given me a wife. Now, I thought that a few times in my life. I'm just kidding. But you know what? To be perfectly honest, Maggie thought that about me. You know?
He said, this wouldn't have happened. I was in this garden by myself, minding my own business. I knew that tree was there. Not a woman put it. Now look what you did, God. Man, I'm thinking, why didn't you just squish him like an ant right there? Right? Then the woman goes to the woman and says, okay, time to man up or woman up. Why'd you do that? Oh, it was the snake. The snake tricked me. Do you notice something here? This is what you do not want to do if you want to be forgiven. Do not make excuses or blame somebody else. Am I the only one in this room that has hurt another individual? Okay? Have you ever been frustrated because the person on the other end just keeps hanging it over your head? I'm like, what do you want, blood? Punch me in the face. Just whatever you got to do, get it over with. I just need relief. Okay, if you want relief, if you want forgiveness, you cannot blame the other person. You cannot say, this happened. Yes, I hurt you, but it happened because you did. No. You will not find the grace or the forgiveness you need. I'll tell you a story. I really shouldn't tell you this story because it's really bad about preachers. But I had a preacher friend. Really wasn't a friend. He was an acquaintance down the road. He used to be really hard on sin. This poor kid got in trouble for looking on the internet at things he shouldn't. So the dad went to the preacher and said, boy, I need help. My son's... Well, the preacher took the kid in front of the church service and said, we're going to church him because he's looking at junk on the internet. He shouldn't look on the internet. So parents, keep your kids away from him. He did that publicly. I'm like, oof, a little heavy-handed. Okay. 2 weeks later, that preacher got caught in a strip bar. Ooh, we got problems now. That church took his head off. I mean, took his head off. You know, I mean, he came up. He said, well, I had an alcohol problem, so the Holy Spirit was convicting me about my alcohol problem, so I went to a strip bar, and I'm thinking, dude, you're digging a really big hole. Okay? Big, big hole. I mean, you know what he should have done? He should have gotten in front of that church. He should have laid on the ground and said, listen, what I did to you and what I did to that young man was wrong. It's my fault. And if you need to spit on me, if you need to step on me, if you never talk to me the rest of my life, I want you to understand, I deserve that. And then if that man would have laid on the ground, nobody would have stepped on him. Nobody would have spit on him. That would have triggered your heart towards forgiveness. You know that young man to this day doesn't go to church? Doesn't want anything to do with God. Well, I wonder why. Because somebody else did not act the way they should when they needed forgiveness. David in Psalms 51, if you will, let's look there and I'm almost done. You know, David committed adultery. And he murdered somebody. Psalms 51. Okay, and let me get there really quick. I can almost tell it to you by heart. And the reason why I know it by heart is because I've had to spend a lot of time in Psalms 51. So, David had an affair with Bathsheba. Got her pregnant. Then tried to cover it up. Which just gets worse. By having her husband killed. And then he went to the prophet of God and God told him the story. And in that story, the prophet of God said, listen, you're that man. And all of a sudden, David realized that people know about what he did. In Psalms 51, here's what you have. Listen to as you hear this man cry out for forgiveness. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He's not blaming it on anybody. He's saying, I did it. I'm guilty. You know, Bathsheba was taking a shower out in the middle of, you know, where people could see. He could have said, you know what, had Bathsheba just shut the shower door, instead of bathing in her backyard, he didn't say that. He said, I did it. And then he says this, look at this. He says, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. He did not mention Bathsheba one time. He said, I own this one. This one is my problem. Nobody else but mine. Please have mercy on me. And he was sorry for what he did. You see a very broken and sad man as he said, please restore unto me the joy of my salvation. He didn't say I need to get saved again. He said, my sin has robbed my joy from me. I miss the fellowship with you and I want it back. So God, I come before you humbly and asking you to forgive me. Oftentimes, has anybody ever asked you to forgive them simply because they got caught? Just when if you get caught doing something you shouldn't do, that does not necessarily mean you're ready to be forgiven. Or because you're suffering under the consequences of your sin. He said, why I'm coming today and asking for forgiveness is because I realize I hurt Jesus. I hurt Jesus. And I'm sorry. I don't want to hurt you. I'm not coming because I got caught. I'm not coming because I'm in trouble. I'm coming because I feel bad because of what I did to you. May I tell you something? I promise you, somebody in this room, maybe there's a marriage. Look, 25 years in January, okay? Maggie and I, not every day is Leave It to Beaver at our house, okay? Sometimes it can get a little rough. Now, I'm just being honest. I heard this preacher one time said, yeah, I've been married 40 years and my wife and I have never argued. And I'm like, no, but you lie. Yeah? I mean, 40 years. But you know what? You know what they say? I asked him. I mean, seriously, this guy's trying to convince me he's never argued with his wife. I'm thinking, have you ever not talked to her for 3 hours? Well, of course. I'm like, bingo, that's arguing. Okay? I mean, what are you, throw junk? Yeah, some people are throwers. Okay? I mean, ooh, you ought to see Maggie whip a chair across the room. You know, oof. Okay, I'm going outside. No, I'm kidding. She don't throw things. But my brother, man, he's a thrower. I remember his girlfriend did something. He got so mad, went out there, kicked the car door in of his own car. He's out there beating it. I'm like, oh, feel better now? Leave your car! You know, and one day I was in the bedroom, he walks in, picks up a battery, whips the crowd, misses my head like this, buries in the wall. I'm like, what's wrong with you? That woman? I'm like, that woman, not me. Okay, some people, they're throwers. Some people are just, they burn and blow up. And I'm that kind of guy. I just go get it over with and then I'm done. You know, guys, have you ever done this before? Get in an argument with your wife. And you say, okay, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? And you're thinking it's over. Yeah, you're driving down the road, you go to reach your hand, she's like, I'm like, what in the world's the matter with you? You know. I don't know. 2 weeks ago, I'm like, man, are you kidding me? All right, cut me right now. Please. Dude, whatever you got to do to get... You know, it's like, okay. But when you want forgiveness and you want to end it, then you go and you get your wife today and you look her in the eye and say, this problem was mine. I can't blame it on anybody else. I'm sorry. And if you don't want to talk to me the rest of the day, it's okay. I deserve it. I just want to know I love you. I promise you, I don't care how cold that heart is, that's going to break through because that triggers forgiveness on the other end. You start making excuses, you're just going to dig a deeper hole, that's all. And it's just going to get worse for you. Now here's where I'm going to end it. Jesus said that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. Everybody in this room has sinned against God. We have done something to hurt Him, no matter who you are. Now, when Jesus said, Father, do you know that Jesus has already forgiven everybody in this room? There may be somebody in this room that does not call themselves a Christian yet because they've not trusted Christ as their Savior. May I tell you, Jesus has still forgiven you. You will die and go to hell having already the forgiveness of Christ. That forgiveness is not yours until you accept it. And the way you accept it is to get on your knees and humble yourself to a mighty God and said, I'm sorry for my sin that nailed you to the cross. Will you forgive me? At that moment, it becomes yours. For eternity. And nothing that you do will ever undo that. But you got to let go. I've met people before that said, I can't ask God to forgive me. You don't know what I did. Paul took a family, grabbed the dad while the mom and the children are crying, took the dad, had him thrown to the lions and watched that. And Paul, on the road to Damascus, with all of that in his head about the hundreds and thousands of people that he has murdered in the name of religion, he's on his knees on that road and he says, forgive me. And the God of heaven lifted that burden off of Paul. And he took that and he put it on the cross where Jesus was, and Jesus paid for everything that Paul did. That's what Jesus did for you. And if you're here and you do not know Christ as your Savior, you are not 100% sure, then if you died, you know why I'm going to heaven? Because I'm a preacher. Nope, that ain't going to get you anywhere. That may get you into hell faster. Okay? No. I'm not going to heaven because I'm not going to heaven because I'm a good person. Ask my wife. I'm not a good person. I'm going to heaven because He forgave me. That's why I'm going to heaven. And I embrace that forgiveness. Jesus has already done His part. You've got to do your part today. Now it's your turn. Humble your heart in front of God and say, God, I can't do it anymore. I need You. Forgive me. And man, the weight of the world is off of your shoulders. You're a new creature in Christ. That's one type of forgiveness that you need. If you have never asked Christ to save you, never asked Him to forgive you, then please, you're going to walk out of here a miserable person. Don't do that. When we sing this last song, you can do it right in your seat. You can let that humbleness as God sees you bow in your heart and say, God, please forgive me. In our homes with our children, if you can parent, if you're raising children and you've never had to tell your child you're sorry, please, you know, I've had to tell Emily, am I the only dad here that's acted out of anger and disciplined out of anger? Am I the only dad that's done that? Well, those of you that don't have children, you get a free pass, okay? All right? But I have kids. You know what I've had to do? I've had to go to my daughter and say, Emily, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Today, I didn't blow it. I haven't blown it too bad today. Had a good ride in because I knew I was preaching on this message, so I was trying to be really careful this morning. Yeah, I left the house, Emily. went to the Bush Church today. And the sun was shining and it rained last night. And my beautiful daughter got up this morning, came and gave Daddy a hug. She still loves me, even though I've been an idiot. And I'm so thankful for forgiveness. Listen, in this room, maybe we ought to do is just get out here as fast as we can. Go find that one person and say, will you forgive me? Whether it's your kid, your wife, your husband, your mother, your father, your neighbor, a co-worker, a friend across the street. Get forgiveness today. And most importantly, let Jesus forgive you. And then don't forget those that need to forgive. Some will need to go and ask for forgiveness today. Others will need to give forgiveness. But we all have something to do. Will you let God help you? Look, it's not easy, guys. But we need to do this so that we can live the way God wants us to live. Will you let Him teach you how to forgive and how to be forgiven? And if anybody, look, this is what I did when I got saved. I said these words. Jesus, if it's true that you left heaven to come die for me, and you gave your life to pay for the things that I've done wrong, and I've never met anybody that loved me that much, and God, I'm guilty, will you forgive me? That was a long time ago. And I'm very glad I did it. And don't leave here. You can do it right here. Don't leave here today with that kind of guilt hanging over you. You don't want to go to hell finding out that when you get there, there was no sense in it because Jesus already forgave you and all you needed to do is accept that and ask Him to be your Savior. And you realize how much power is in this room right now? If we'll just go do what He wants us to do, there will be healing in every relationship of our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for a valuable lesson that we learned today. First off, greatest teacher in the world, nailed to that old rugged cross, showed us how to forgive. And then, Lord, we learned also how to be forgiven. Lord, help us to bury our pride, Lord, and our own selfishness. We oftentimes like to defend ourselves when we've done wrong, and then there's no healing. God, help us to just own up to it. No blame. Just pure God, I'm sorry. Maggie, I'm sorry. And just own our sin and then ask for forgiveness. God, no doubt. And these families represent, there needs to be healing at some place, at some point. Lord, help us to do that today and throughout this week, to forgive and be forgiven. We love You. Thank You for loving us. And Jesus, I'll tell you right now, thank You for on a daily basis forgiving me. We ask this in Your precious name. Amen.
Let's stand and sing the next song, It Is Well With My Soul. And as we get together to stand to sing this song, let's think of what Dave has said and prayed for us today, and let's make sure it is well with our souls. Let's leave it at the cross. We sang, nail it to the cross. There's forgiveness. There's hope. You don't need to take it with you today. It can be well with your soul. Just hand it over.
My way, when sorrows are
Thank you, everyone. You are dismissed.